we continue our series of sermons that explores several encounters that people have with Jesus in the Gospels. And the question that we're asking every week is, well, a form of that question. And the question is, who is Jesus to that person? Or in that encounter, in that story, who is Jesus to him, to her, to them? And the question we always want to answer, of course, ultimately is, who is Jesus to you? Okay, it's really nice to know who he was to people 2,000 years ago, but what matters is, who is he to you and me? Today, our focus is an entire chapter in the Gospel of Luke. It's a long chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing, but it is, if you have a Bible that you want to have in your hand, there's some in the pews. We've also put some of the text in the back on the flyer in the back. It'll also be on the screen. But Luke chapter 12 is where we're headed today. And for starters, let's just read a single verse of this scene, verse 13. Be nice if I turn to the right page. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Now, we've got some Bible knowledgeable people in the house, I'm sure. And so you probably know this story. If you're doing Bible in a year, you know this story. You probably know how it ends, and that's fine, that's wonderful. But let's move back before we read Jesus' response to that question. Hey, Jesus, help me deal with my brother here about the estate. Let's move back to the beginning of the chapter and hear its first three verses. Meanwhile, the crowds grew until thousands were milling about and stepping on each other. Jesus turned first to his disciples and warned them, "Be aware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear." I think those verses have like a dark tone to them, a somber tone to them. He's got a crowd of thousands of people, and Jesus' first word to them is not, "Hey, welcome everybody." The first word is, "You might think you'd be able to keep it secret. You might think you'd be able to hide what you've been doing and what you've been thinking. You might think you've been able to secrete yourself away from scrutiny, but everything will be made known. The things you think you can get away with will be made known to the world." The mood doesn't really brighten in verses 4 and 5. "Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear." Wow. I mean, we're talking about a dark section of the gospel here, right? Be afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid of the one who can kill you and send you to hell. Or how about verses 8, starting with verse 8? "I tell you the truth. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man, will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." Verse 12 offers advice to people when they are arrested, when they are brought before the authorities. Okay? Wow, there's a dark mood about this text. Now let's look at the section of the verse that follows the story that we're going to pay attention to today. First thing that happens after our section today, Jesus tells a parable about a rich man who puts all his resources into building more barns and more storage facilities. He has so many good things and so much wealth built up that all he can do is build bigger barns and bigger silos and bigger storage areas. And Jesus says, that's really good, except tonight he dies and he loses it all. Another bright and cheery tale. And then there's a section that we're familiar with from the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on where then that section says, hey folks, don't worry about your possessions, don't worry about your concerns, don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat, don't even worry about any of that stuff, let God take care of all that stuff, you pursue the kingdom. And following that is a lengthy section whose central teaching is be ready, because you never know when the Son of Man is going to return. You never know when the end is going to come. So be ready. You hear this kind of sort of cascade of very dark and concerning sections. And finally, in Luke 12, Jesus says he hasn't come to bring people together. He's come to divide people. He's come to divide people and divide even families. This is really potent stuff. Look at verse 51. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart. 3 in favor of me and 2 against, or 2 in favor and 3 against. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. And mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be anyway? Isn't that in the rules somewhere? This is all part of one chapter, Luke 12. And I've only given you like snippet-sized summaries of what's there. But it gives enough flavor about what's going on. And I haven't really given you a sense of the sections of the chapter where the message is God really does care for us. And that message is in there too. But that background, this sort of context, the setting of Jesus' response to this brother who says, hey, help me deal with this estate problem. My brother won't share the will with me, and so will you make sure to help me with that? This is the setting in which Jesus' response arises. By the way, in this scene, who is Jesus to the brother? And the brother who says, Jesus, help force him to divide the will with me. Who is he? Well, to him, to the brother, he's like an arbiter, or he's a probate judge, or he's an attorney, or he's a negotiator, or he's a, arbitration judge. But as we'll see in starting with verse 14, Jesus refuses to be any of those things that the guy wants him to be. So remember, Jesus, the guy has said, will you help me force my brother to divide the estate with me? 14. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Translation, I didn't come here to be your financial advisor. I didn't come here to be your investment supervisor. I didn't come here to be your attorney. If you need estate help, see a lawyer, or better, as he says in verse 57, what I'm going to put up on the screen, in verse 57 he says, you got to figure that out for yourself. You can handle that yourself. You take care of that stuff. Why does he say that? Because Jesus knows that his purpose is far greater than to help people decide their family estates. His purpose, he has come to tell the world about God. He has come to share the love of God with the world. He has come to let people know, to speak the ways and the will of God. He has come to invite people into a deeper relationship with God. The stuff about family estates and all the details of everyday life. Yeah. Jesus knows that he has come to change minds, to change hearts. Jesus knows that he has come to turn people away from their own desires, away from their greed, away from their selfishness, away from their arrogance, away from that me stuff, to the you stuff. Right? Jesus knows that his purpose is far greater than is described and contained in a concern about the family estate. That is, he has come to change norms. Norms such as, well, money really matters. and how much you have really matters. And how much you store away for yourself really matters. Or how good how good are all necessary questions we have to ask in order to gauge the quality of our lives. Jesus has come to bust all of those norms up and say to the world, you know, those things don't matter as much as you think they matter. I have come for a bigger purpose. Behind all of the goings on in this chapter is a basic assertion. And the assertion is, what really matters in life, folks, is far greater than what's going on in your little universe, your personal world. And the things that you think are important, the things that you value because they're important to you, because they're important to your financial bottom line, because they're important to your personal popularity or significance, you might think that they're important, but in the kingdom, who gets what from the family will? You handle that. The kingdom has many more important things to deal with than that. And when you are finished dealing with who gets what in the family will, come back and I'll give you some guidance. I'll send you out. We've heard this dozens of times before. We've heard Jesus say, money isn't all that important. We've heard him say, don't worry about your material possessions. We've heard him say, God will provide for you. We've heard him say, you live in search of the kingdom and God will meet your needs. We've heard him say, put your time and energy and invest your life in my things, not your things. What we haven't heard is him say those things in the context of this series. What does Jesus want us to be? What does Jesus want to be for us? He doesn't want to be financial advisor. He doesn't want to be conflict manager. Jesus doesn't want to be a family advisor at all. He wants to be Lord. You know that word? Lord, commander, director, central guiding authority. Absolute authority. Jesus doesn't want to be the detail. Jesus wants to be the general. Right. Remember the rich man came to Jesus, good guy, wanted eternal life. Jesus told him ultimately, you know, you sound like a good guy. It sounds like you're living a good life. I tell you what, sell what you have, give to the poor, then come follow me. Why? Because what he was, his resources. And the guy walked away, right? He walked away in sadness, remember? Why did he walk away? Because Jesus was telling him, you got one thing that's more important than me. Your stuff, your possessions. Get rid of that. Put me where I belong. Number one, first, make me Lord of your life. Surrender your will to mine, and then we'll talk. He couldn't do it. You want me to be for you what I don't want to be for you. Second place. So you take care of your money according to my teachings, and then come back to me. It's March Madness, right? We got men's tournament going on, women's tournament going on. Really a lot of fun for basketball fans. And undoubtedly, we're probably going to see some athlete after a game or maybe even before a game saying, I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ for giving me this victory today. Right? You've heard it. You've heard it after sports games. I really want to thank God for giving me this win. You really think that God cares who wins basketball games? You think that's a top priority on heaven's agenda? Can you imagine somebody say, Jesus, can you help me with my bracket? I got Kentucky, but the people in the office have North Carolina. And can you help me with that? Will you help me deal with this confusion? I think Kentucky's going to win. They think North Carolina. Can you imagine Jesus' response to that? You take care of your bracket and then come back to me when you want to talk about the kingdom. What's the message for today? Jesus wants to be a lot more in our lives than an arbiter, an arbitrator, a negotiator, a problem solver. As Lord, Jesus wants to be first, central, ultimate, the one who guides, provides and directs. Is your faith, is my faith in Him so large today to give Him that place? Whatever place He has, that's good. I'm glad He has that place in you. The question is He Lord? First, central, in control. Of course we want help to make it through the day. Of course we want to be guided and directed on the smaller stuff. But as people of faith, are we willing to give Him control over the big stuff? The big picture direction of our lives, to fashion our priorities around His teachings and His priorities? Are we willing to allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives? Not just advisor, but Lord. Hear the difference, right? You hear the difference between Lord and advisor? An advisor is someone you go to when you need assistance. A Lord is the one you follow all the time. When the brother asks Jesus to settle an estate dispute, Jesus says, you can handle that yourself. Right? You can handle that yourself. I've been teaching about that stuff. You can figure it out. Don't limit my role in your life. Don't turn to me only when you have that kind of stuff. Don't focus on your stuff at all. It's really important that you turn away from that stuff. Turn away, turn your priorities and your focus and your attention away from that stuff toward me. It's really necessary that you do that. Turn your heart away from yourself and toward me, and I promise you God will provide. And I promise you, Jesus says, I will give you, you will be given, you will be blessed with a life that is richer and fuller and more fulfilling than any life you can save for, build barns for, or invest in. Amen. Pentecostal to do that? So who is Jesus to you? And remember, every time I ask you, I'm asking myself, so don't think I exclude myself. Do you have a big Jesus? Or a small one? A Jesus you can turn to, who you turn to just for the details, or for the problems, or for the irritation, the annoyances of everyday life? Or do you have a Jesus you turn to chart the course of your life going forward? Man, I've got to go that direction or this direction. Which direction do I go? How big is your Jesus? Today we've heard yet another example of the size of that Jesus wants to be in your life and my life. Take this next week and live as if that's the Jesus you want. Let's pray. God, thanks. Thanks for this word, however imperfectly delivered. I'm really glad for the urgency of this text. Here's the scene, and this brother probably is very serious and sort of broken up about the financial and familial problems in his family. Help me force my brother to divide the estate with me. And Jesus gives him a lesson in priorities and tells him there are other things more important. And he wants to be more than that. So we got issues today, all of us. We got health issues. We got job issues. We got neighbor issues. We got national concerns, international chaos. We got stuff. Help us sort it out. And help us and remind us that there are things that are important to our everyday lives. But then there is that richer, fuller, greater life that Jesus came to give and offer to us. And we got to clutch that and cling to that and found and direct our lives on the basis of that. And if we plant ourselves, if we associate ourselves, if we connect ourselves with that life, if we reach out and live that life, wow, what an amazing week this will be. In Jesus' name, God's people say,